Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Zebra Days of Our Lives, dear friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last week of the show. You can call in and give us your 2 cents at 914-338-1239, and you can also call in using Skype. Or you can join us in our chat room. Follow our blog daily at debugdaysofourlives.blogspot.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and you could find all those direct links on our show page here. The Twitter, I'm at Diva Abdul, D-O-O-L, so you can't really miss me. Yes, and you also follow us on Blog Talk Radio, so that way you're alerted to any new announcements. So we got a packed house, and we have someone on hold, ladies, too. But we'll talk a little bit. It's Sabina's on hold, so we'll talk for a little bit later on. We have Marianne.
Hello.
Yeah, we got Madeline.
Hi.
And we have Miss Anna.
Hello.
Sorry, I'm still sick. I'm still coughing. Anna, you know, I'll let you take it away, and you can tell us how you felt about Lauren's interview with Lauren Coswell on Thursday.
Oh, well, I think you can probably guess that I was pretty happy. I was so, like, happy that so many people came out for that chat. I mean, we had a ton of people in the chat room, a lot of live listeners. That weren't in the chat room but just listening. We had quite a few of those. And so it was very active, and then we had a lot. I was manning the phone calls on the dashboard, and we had a lot of calls. I mean, I was afraid we weren't going to get through to all of them. But and a few people actually even had to drop off because they'd been waiting a long time, and, I mean, there's just so many people in there. But so I was really pleased that so many people wanted to talk to Lauren and everything. And she's just delightful as always. I mean, we had interviewed her in January, and she was wonderful. But, you know, this time, I mean, I think it was even better. She stayed with us for like 2.5 hours, which is like amazing. And she just really, really gave of herself and was so sweet and fun and engaging and yada, yada, yada. I know I could go on for the whole hour. But anyway, we were tickled to have her, and she really enjoyed it as well. She let me know that she really appreciated it and really enjoyed it. And, you know, it was just really, really nice to get all of us together and a lot of her fans together. A lot of new people from Twitter joined in that had just finally, you know, discovered her on Twitter or had been a fan for a long time but didn't know how to reach her and stuff. So anyway, it was wonderful. We got some nice tidbits that Brian DiTillo apparently looks great. She saw him at a party recently, and she said he was looking amazing. And so we talked a little bit about how we could bring Lucas back and what it would be, what his character should be when he comes back. You know, maybe gray, more successful businessman, more of his own man. Maybe they could, like, do some serious rehab on his character. And we talked about a variety of things, about the reset and about shooting the reset, things like that. And talked a lot about the characters, about Kate and, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know. What did you guys think? How did you feel about it?
Oh, I love the how she mentioned the there is an upcoming K-Man scene, so I'm very excited about that.
Oh, yes,
scene.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I guess there is a bit of a scene, too, with John. So it's kind of odd because Kate and John kind of ignore each other the past 2 weeks. So I'm excited about that. And seriously, the Lumi fans on Twitter just went absolutely nuts with Laura mentioning
really.
She saw Brian, and he looked hot. I mean, yeah, because I was getting tweets about that all, you know, the last 2 days about how thrilled they were to read that. So, so it was a great interview. Lauren's, this is the second time we've interviewed. She's just phenomenal. She's a wonderful guest, always entertaining and gracious and patient as hell. Because people don't understand. And then he just feels like, oh, yeah, we're just talking on the phone. It's a lot of work. And for the guests, too. Because, I mean, we wear out Sherri Anderson every time we interview her.
I never know what's going to come up. They have to be ready for anything kind of thing, too. So that's
right.
Always
they have no idea what anybody's going to ask them.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we don't
right.
either.
So,
you know, when the
yeah,
fans
yeah, we
call
don't either.
In, we don't know. We don't either. We don't have, like, any control. So, yeah, and the subjects and topics, yeah, we can have questions and that for her, but sometimes, you know, different things come up as we're talking to her.
Right.
I think she
well,
had as much fun
been,
as we did. She even posted
I think so.
On Facebook.
She really did.
She said,
really
did you all have as much fun as I did or something? She posted
Aww.
On Facebook. And yeah. And for her to, yeah. And for her to stay on for 2.5 hours, that was like
I know. She said,
the longest
she out,
of anybody that we've ever had stay on. You know, most stay on for an hour, you know, an hour and a half usually.
Yeah.
But to go
well,
2 hours
I,
and then 2.5. Yeah.
And I know I have to say, too, that Blog Talk cut us off at 2 hours, but we still,
right.
and see, I wasn't sure, I mean, that's one thing, I wanted to get the last caller in before it cut us off, because I knew it was going to let us go to 2 hours, but the live air cuts off at that point, and then, or in that case, because Carrie had it set for 2 hours, But then we continued to talk afterwards, and I guess it was recording. So we still got mm-hmm. some more discussion in. So that's why it was 2.5 hours altogether. Honestly, I didn't realize that it was still going to be recording at that point until, you know, Carrie and I talked, kind of, you know, tweeted at each other about it. But so anyway, so it was nice that she was able to stay even longer. And before the show, she was saying, she was so cute. She's like, yeah, I got dinner working, and you know I'm great, you know, whatever you guys want. And so I sent something to her today, and I said,
in the oven,
Owen, I said, it's so nice your dinner was probably either burned or cold by the time we got off the show. But she didn't mind. She was so cute. She's just so sweet. And mm-hmm. we had a couple of special guests. We had her daughter call in. Her daughter
mm-hmm.
who's turning 21 tomorrow, Millie Kate,
oh,
called
wow.
in and talked with us. And then we also had a caller from Israel, Mazi. It was so exciting because she's been a big fan of Lauren's, and she was really tickled to get through and talk to her, and Lauren was likewise excited to talk to her. And when you interviewed Mary Beth a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
didn't you have a caller from Saudi Arabia? It's like Israel and
yeah.
Saudi Arabia in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
I'm always
so,
impressed with those people. They have to stay up until the middle of the early, you know, early hours or get
I know.
Up.
I
like 2 a.m.
Like
Mia,
oh, yeah. Mia and Jurka from Sweden and Germany. Yeah. So anyway, so that's what I like really enjoyed about it. So.
Okay.
Anyway, somebody shuffling papers.
Well, you know, let's just segue into, there will be an interview this week, but I have to pre-tape it, and that's why I'm not going to announce who it is, because I think I'm not allowed. So just make sure you keep an eye on the blog and Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter on Wednesday, and hopefully I'll get it going and have it up. And hopefully they'll agree to a longer interview. That's why it has to be pre-taped. It's only 10 minutes. That's good, you know, we can't take callers in 10 minutes. That's, you know, that's impossible. So, you know, everybody keep an eye on Wednesday to see who the interview is. And while we're at it,
yeah.
let's talk about Kate. So once
All
you
right.
guys tell in about Kate, because she was in the thick of things this week, and she's on topic, so go ahead.
All right. Well, I didn't catch every single minute of every episode, so you guys please jump in too, because
mm-hmm.
I on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most notable thing that happened this week was that Kate found out that while Victor and Brady turned down her offer to invest in her company, her revived Countess Wilhelmina cosmetics line, she found out that this apparently big competition person moved into town, Madison, and has aligned herself with Victor and Brady, and they bought her company now. And so she discovered this and was not too happy about it, let's just say, and I don't blame her, quite frankly.
Right.
And
right.
you know, I have to say, and I think a lot of people, I saw a lot of comments on Twitter and everything about this, and I think my favorite writer wrote the episode, which makes me sad to say this, but there were parts of it I really didn't like. I think the part that, I was looking forward to Kate having a worthy adversary, because in the past, I mean, she was chasing around Chloe, and I mean, Lauren always does a spectacular job, but it's just, you know, by the end, I mean, Chloe was whipped. I mean, she was as low as you can get. I mean, it's no fun to see the Dark Queen of Salem beaten up on somebody that's already kicked below the curb. I mean, you know, much less to the curb. So that just wasn't challenging. It wasn't as interesting, I don't think, and it wasn't as challenging for people to root for her when it's like, here's this, well, poor Chloe that, you know. So I was looking forward to having a business storyline, corporate Kate, and having this adversary, and, of course, ultimately having Kate triumph. But, I was disappointed in how it was executed as far as the initial meeting. I mean, it's fine that Kate found out about this, you know, by accident on the fly, you know, just runs into them and finds out about it. But there was a little sniping, a little ageist comment at the end, which I wasn't happy about. And I don't know. First of all, I found Madison annoying, but maybe she'll, you know, they do that a lot with new characters. They bring them in and they put them on all the time, and everyone gets sick of them because they haven't gotten a chance to really, you know, get attached yet, whether it's positive or negative. They just kind of throw them at you. And so I'm worried they're going to do the same thing with her. But I know they were trying to make a big splash with bringing her in like that. But I don't know. Personally, I didn't appreciate those shots. I don't mind. I love the bar going back and forth, and I love snarky comments and all. But that was one of the things I didn't like about it. And the other thing I didn't like about it is that it basically, and as one of my friends tweeted this week, that basically in one episode managed to ruin a friendship, you know, that Victor and Kate basically had for a long time, even though they, you know, obviously parted ways as a couple. They had gotten to a place where they were equals in a sense and could be friendly with each other and, you know, really had each other's back. I mean, how long ago was it that, wasn't that long ago that Victor was asking Kate to move into his house just to protect him to protect her from, you know, the Demiras and everything. So I think, and from Lil, I think it was from Vivian that he was trying to protect her. Anyway, remember that? I was really ticked about that.
My biggest problem with a lot of that is that when Dina was writing, she went back and forth with the whole Victor and Kate. I mean, you know, Kate obviously would have pissed off Victor when she married Stefano, even if it was, you know, she was forced into it. And then for him to behave like, oh, no big deal when Vivian goes after her and invite her into the house, was none of that made sense anyway. And I didn't. But I still don't like that, you know, that they're not suddenly, it just seems like for no reason, it went back and forth for no reason. And now for no reason, he's, you know, ticked off at her and he's doing that. I feel like this is what Dina was doing. Maybe they're going to stick, maybe they're picking a position and they're going to stick to it. I don't know. But I didn't like that.
Yeah. Well,
I understand with Victor marrying Maggie why he's going to do this, but I didn't like that they didn't really explain it. It just happened. That's Dina stuff. And I saw a lot of that this week I didn't like.
Yeah. Well, another aspect of the whole ageist comment about the skin cream or whatever, anti-aging or anti-wrinkle cream comment, was that I can't imagine them writing that kind of dialogue for Stefano and Victor. You know, it's like, wow, your receding hairline's really looking a little bad these days. It's like it was very sexist as well as ageist because, when Stefano and Victor or any other, you know, whether it's EJ and Brady or whoever's going after each other, they're not talking, you know, Brady doesn't go, hey, and I don't like the way you part your hair these days, EJ. I mean, come on, you know, it's just ridiculous.
I'm
going to
get myself in even more trouble. Not only would they not do it with any of the men on the program, mm-hmm. they wouldn't do it with a lot of the women on the program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You would not. No, nobody would be saying that to Marlena. Sorry.
Oh God, no, they wouldn't.
No, God.
That would never happen.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna get Sabina on real quick. The poor girl's been on hold for 20 minutes. Hi, is this Sabina? Erica 404.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hello.
This is Ativa. Hi, Erica 404.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Justin?
Oh, hi. I didn't know I pushed one, but hi.
Yeah, you're on.
Oh,
yeah,
you know that, Justin.
We found out that Justin and Sabina live in the same neighborhood or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
Small world.
Yeah,
when you were talking to Lauren the other night, you said 404, and I thought you were talking about me, but you're talking about somebody else. And I'm the second 404.
Sabina.
So a while ago, when you said 404, you must be like, oh, that must be her.
I'm sorry,
and then you kept
Sabina.
Saying hello,
yeah.
Hello, hello, and then I realized, oh, you must be me.
404.
Well, so how did you enjoy the interview with Lauren?
I really enjoyed it. And I was saying in the chat room how struck I was by how different she sounds from Kate. I mean, I would have to strain to realize it was the same person. Her cadence and the words used is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's almost like, is that really Lauren? Because she does sound completely different.
Yeah.
I noticed that, too.
And that just shows you how great of an actress she is. I mean, it was kind of like Joe Muscolo. He doesn't speak
like
Italian
in
real life, you know. And
yeah,
so,
and
I mean, he
totally
doesn't
different.
Speak with an Italian accent. And he's very, his whole cadence
a
is
A lot
different.
Of them,
his
yeah.
Whole,
I think
it's yeah, and so I think it's really cool that they, you know, like, Lauren, you
even
know, the first time I met Lauren,
Tony,
I was just,
you know, exactly.
I mean, it's like, you know, and well, and the other thing is, like, the first time I met Lauren is, like, she's like, gave me this big hug, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, Kate's hugging me. You know what I mean? It's like, I knew it was Lauren, but it was just like, you because Kate is so tied down. I mean, she's so, like, what is it? The wall is up. There's always kind of a wall there to protect her. And Lauren just doesn't have that wall. I mean, she just doesn't come across that way at all. So it was just really, like, that just struck me immediately how different Lauren and Kate are, you know, so it's really fun. I mean, I think it's a challenge for her and makes it fun for her to play a character that, I mean, there are some similarities in terms of, you know, style and everything, but yeah, Justin, I agree. So it's really interesting to see that.
Christopher Chappelle is very sweet in person. I go to a fan event in Atlanta, and it was a small one. I found out about it by accident on Twitter. I got lucky. There were only about 50 people there. And on the way out, I, like, thanked Christopher for coming, and she gave me a hug. She was so nice in person.
Oh.
And I'm not really a big Crawley fan because I love Beau and Hope, but she was just very nice in person.
Aw, that's nice.
It's always nice to hear that about people that we watch every day and everything. So.
Right. And I was also saying in the chat room how happy I am with the writing now. Under Demon Higley, it was so bad. I stopped watching. It was so bad. And
yes,
now
I'm excited to watch now, actually.
It is so good now. I mean, even if I didn't know they changed writers, I would know because it's so obvious. It's such a different show.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think one thing that Lauren alluded to with the writing is that they are going back. Now, maybe we haven't had a chance to see this in full yet, and Madeline's probably skeptical. I know you are. But Lauren
but
made
it has
a comment.
Been better.
I'll admit
like,
it's better.
Do you think it's better?
I'll admit it. I think it's a lot better than it was with Dina because even if they're not whatever they say, I'm sorry, this is not character-based writing. You can tell they're actually going to be stories. Dina could not write a story to save her life. She couldn't. So in that respect, yes, it's better. The production value is better, but I have a friend who I agree with. I'm sorry, they should fire anybody who's doing wardrobe and hair.
Yeah.
Carrie's wardrobe this week was embarrassing. There's no reason for that. But there's a lot of things that are better. I think so. I can watch an episode. I watched every episode this week. I didn't look forward to watching. I didn't come home, I've got to go see it. But I made it through the whole episode, and I didn't fast forward too much.
Fast forwarding for me at all this week.
No.
That's awesome. I had to fast forward Daniel and Melanie. Sorry. Oh, God.
Something I thought of this week.
Well, the other thing, Carrie, you mentioned at the top of the show is that they're actually going to have some Cayman scenes later, probably, maybe in about 6 weeks or so, I think they'll probably air. I don't think it's leading anywhere, but of course Josh and Lauren gave it their all, and I'm sure it'll be fun for the Cayman fans to see. But how long has it been since, Kate and Roman even act like they know each other?
They're not even in kind of history together.
If they are, it's like they don't even know each other. So it's nice that they're actually, acknowledging that again. And Lauren did say that they were going back to more character-based writing. Now, is it going to be satisfactory to everybody? No. And we haven't probably seen the full extent of that yet, but at least it's encouraging. I mean, for example, she gave an example of the EJ and Kate scene, where truthfully, there were some scenes, though, about three weeks ago, where EJ and she were talking, and it was kind of sexual, too, which, of course, they love throwing that in. But that really, was a throwback to their previous relationship of many years ago. And also, there was one scene where I looked at EJ and I was like, oh my gosh, that's the EJ I remember from 2006, 2007. It was weird.
Yep.
He even looked like himself. I mean, she was kind of making comments about how, I'm glad to see you're back to yourself or whatever. But it was almost eerie how when I looked at him in this one scene, I was like, it took me back to when Kate and EJ had that witty repartee and they had that sexual tension. And no, they weren't madly in love, but they definitely had, they were partners with benefits for sure, But,
I'm loving EJ and Nicole.
And I'm sorry. If they slept together, they can't pretend like it's just stepmommy and stepson. You've got to mention
exactly.
It.
They know that they have.
Ignore
And I'm loving EJ and Nicole.
That's what they're not doing right now. But they need
you guys
to
like
doing.
Do you guys like EJ and Nicole? Scenes?
I do, but it's already.
Oh, I think they're great too.
I mean, within one episode, it's the same problem I have with Brady and the new person, Madison.
Madison.
In one episode, they've already made me bored. That's not good.
Well, they have, but not EJ and Nicole.
Stuff.
I don't know.
I'm
enjoying
them. That's stuff that we saw Dina doing. Repeat, repeat, repeat to make it last as long as you can. I had a thought last week.
I had a thought last week. I'm going to change topics a bit. I don't know if you all caught it when the John storyline was going on. There was a very brief flashback of him at a computer working on some kind of financial records. And I'm wondering if maybe he's guilty and he either has multiple personalities or some kind of medical condition or a mental problem or something. Do you think that could be a possibility?
Well, that's when Marlena said something to him, I know you haven't been working on anything. That's why I know you can't be guilty. Well, then it showed him doing that. So I don't know. He might have been trying to help out because he'd been away so long. He was saying in jail that he feels bad because he let it happen, because he didn't have a hold on his company. And he let it happen, that somebody did come in, framed him, and, he let things get out of control. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that was
a Ken Corday line, because he did the same thing with his own show and said 4 months ago or so, said, I finally decided to take back the reins.
Right.
So it was almost like Concorde talking.
And, of course, they're blaming it on the Damaris, you know, right away at Stefano. You know, like when he fired, all the lawyers got fired right away. Now, who could do that? Oh, Stefano. It must be Stefano. It must be the Damaris.
It better be someone else. And my only issue with it being something that John did because he was when he was still new John is that then they can blame it on Stefano because he was the reason that John lost his memory. So I'm not crazy about that, but
they haven't acknowledged the Damira.
End of it. I'll eat my words if I'm wrong, but they're never gonna make John guilty. They're just not.
Well, no, they're not going to make. Just like they're not going to. They didn't make Marlena guilty. They're always going to have an out for especially.
Well, you know, they were. Marlena did mention 3 or 4 times to different people that things were not. I mean, he may be looking great. He may be moving around more, but things were still not back to normal. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying. So I kept thinking
maybe
it was
his personality.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe he needed a good shot of Viagra. Is what I was saying. No, but I was thinking that's what she was implying, but no, I think she was hinting that all is not as it seems, you know. So, but anyway,
yeah.
Well, how were those Jack scenes, Jack and Jen scenes? You guys like those?
Oh yeah, great.
They're great.
Yeah, Matt Asher. Yeah, and even Kate, Nancy's doing a great job. Miss Abby, I thought.
Yeah,
her scenes with
Jack
were great. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I enjoyed that whole dynamic with the three of them. I really enjoyed that. And I'm glad they're not making, even though I don't like Daniel, the character, I'm glad they're not making it where she just jumps back into his arms and it's all happy and everything. You know.
Oh, no.
I'm glad they have to have some angst. Well, and some people who are Jack fans want her to work for it. They want her to go chasing after him after a while instead of the other way around. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of discussion right now about the whole mystery, the Alice's Secret thing. What do you guys think about that?
Oh. Well, did you hear the rumors that something about Daniel is supposed to be Meg's
son? If the rumors
son
are true.
That is ridiculous.
No way.
Why are they going there? That does not make sense. Are they shoving him down our throats just to make them all a little family? Please. You know, I think that's ridiculous. I don't like it.
I'm wondering if that ties in with Alice's little secret, moving money around.
Well, and if it does,
that
makes
it worse. But Maggie didn't know she had a kid? I mean, how do you not know? I mean.
I'm sorry. There is no way in hell that Alice would hide something like that from Maggie. There's no way.
Right.
That is such character assassination.
How would Maggie not know that she had a son? How do you not know that?
Yeah, well, that's the other part of it. But they want to. But with Ken Corday's attitude, I mean, we have Josh Taylor playing Roman Brady because Ken Corday told him that nobody remembers anything back 10 more than 10 years, so they'll do it. I have no problem believing they'll do it.
Yeah. I remember about 40 years, so whatever.
I remember Maggie having Sarah. No, she would not have not known that she didn't have twins.
Really? How can you not know a man? Like, if it was, a man, that's different. But a woman, she didn't know she had a son?
That's
I know.
I remember still, after all these years, sometimes I think I see Roman and I think of Chris Kosacek.
Oh, yeah. He's still Chris. He's always going to be Chris to me, and Wayne Northrop is always Roman.
Yeah.
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 Whatever Kenny says.
Yeah. So do you think that is Alice's secret? Do you think they're going to go there? Is that just a rumor?
There's things that certain of the actors have said in interviews that kind of make it sound like that's yes, where they're going.
Could you repeat that? What were you saying about Alice and Maggie?
That Daniel's going to be Maggie's
son. Part of the rumor is that what Bo and Hope are looking into with Alice's, those statements Alice left, is that she was being blackmailed and she hid this secret from Maggie that she had twins and that Daniel is her son.
Who's the other twin?
Who's the other twin?
He is that he would be Sarah's twin. But Daniel is Sarah's twin, and therefore Melanie is Maggie's granddaughter.
Well, even worse, we're back to uncle and niece, even if it's not, even if it's through marriage or whatever, doing it with each other, because Jennifer would then be his, that would be like
his cousin,
right? Like, I mean, and I don't like this whole adoption doesn't count or they're not blood bull crap.
With
marriage,
I mean,
if anyone's doing it with their cousin through marriage or not, it's yuck, okay? I'm sorry. But, I mean, when it dawned on me that they would be related, I mean, I was just like, oh, please, not back to, not, you know, Chunkle was bad enough, you know, Uncle Matt and Chelsea.
Yeah. So
Chunkle,
they're saying that somebody took this twin
up,
away
the
from
idea
her.
Idea of Daniel being related to the Hortons. I mean, it's not, and it's not because he's done anything awful. It's just because, I'm sorry, he should not be a Horton. He's just
no.
Slimy.
No. Well, who is Sarah's father? Is it Neil? Am I right? Or is is that who? Okay.
Neil
Curtis. Okay. Right. And so they're saying she had also a son, and somebody took the son away. Nobody knew.
And guess who will be found responsible? Come on.
Yes. It has to be Sarah.
I mean,
who was
operating in Salem at the time, pulling off
why would they
do you know what? So
they're blackmailing Alice? I don't know. I don't get it. I'm trying to connect how it's all going to work out. But I don't know.
Something tells me no matter how brilliant it comes out, it'll still pick me off.
No, because they have to find a way to connect Daniel and Melanie. That's why.
Why? Why do we have to keep
that? I don't know why, but I know. I agree. Yeah.
See, that's the part of it, the reset, that I'm not happy with. Yes,
Melanie can have a relationship.
Feeling like we're going to get stories, but we
still
have
a blood relationship.
We still have Melanie and Daniel being shoved in our faces as perfect people. We still have Rafe, who's made to look even more perfect, and Sammy, and none of what they've pulled is being explained as something that's not anything but, you know, great. You know, shooting people in the head and doing all this other stuff.
Yeah.
You're still heroic if you do that. No. That's not helping.
Well, how's everyone liking Carrie and Austin?
Well, if Carrie could get a new wardrobe, that might help.
Oh, yeah.
Carrie
still put me to sleep.
Did you see her walk in I don't remember what day it was. It must have been Wednesday, I think. She walked in the police department in those shoes. I just wanted to, oh, my God.
Yeah, that
how
green
that
skirt and that flowered whatever top she had on.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was bad. I mean, Karen making her look matronly or something, you know. But I'm hoping with her being John's lawyer that she'll get stronger, you know, more, I don't know. But I was never a real big Carrie and Austin fan. But.
Okay. I like
well,
the second Austin better.
I was looking forward to having Patrick Muldoon back. And I don't know if he's getting better. I'm not crazy about what I've seen so far, but maybe it'll get better.
What were you saying, Justin?
I was saying that I prefer Austin Peck to Patrick Muldoon.
I have to say I do, too, and I didn't think I'd say that, but I do, too. And I'm not bashing Patrick. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah, and I always liked Patrick Muldoon from what I could remember before better than Austin Peck. But I don't know about this time.
I'm not into it. I don't know. I mean, I can't figure out if it's just that he's
even if
Austin
Peck
was
back, it's just those characters. I don't know.
I'm not crazy about Patrick Muldoon, but no, I don't want Austin Peck back because there's no way in hell that that man could actually say he's a forensic whatever and make me believe it.
Yeah,
what
a switch in career. And Carrie, a lawyer, I don't see that either. That came out of the blue there.
Oh, I don't have a problem with that.
But this might be good for
nice
her character, for the role with, you know, the fighting for John. I'd like to see how she does that, you know, how she handles that.
Yeah, I still have a crush on Patrick, so he's not bugging me as much. Carrie, actually, she cracked my ass up. I think it was Friday when she got John out of jail. I mean, I think so far Carrie is our most competent lawyer we've ever had on the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's,
so
yeah.
Far.
Mark,
so
pretty
far.
Smart, yeah.
It's very early. John. It's only been a week.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's only been a week. I'm sure she'll screw up along the way. Yeah, her clothes were atrocious. But, man, she just put Rafe in his place. I mean, she was just bitch-knocking
him
out of
place.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
She actually made me like Donna Marlena scene because, and when I realized, when I went back, I realized, oh, it's because she got to tell off Rafe.
Yeah, she's like, no, Rafe, we're back out, please, watching them, because when the police stood there and let someone punch John, and I mean, she was, you know, I mean, I don't know if they're trying to do, like, this sexual tension between the two of them or not, but she, I mean, she just, you know, slapped them all over the place. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm gonna be, are we going to be switching partners
being,
there? Down
yeah.
The line?
Yeah, there's actually a spoiler now that Austin, within like next couple of weeks, moves in with Sammy and Rafe. Why would he move in with Kate? Kate has a big old mansion.
Yeah,
yeah,
why?
Just, you know, that was another thing.
They're not going to live with Stefano DeMario while all this stuff is going on. I'll tell you, though, my favorite part of the entire week was EJ getting off the phone after having found out that Carrie and John were both served with paper.
Yeah, about the class action lawsuit. How you like
guilty,
EJ, way
care.
To go. Yes.
That was beautiful.
Yes, that was beautiful, yeah. So he's like, yeah, he filed a class action lawsuit on the behalf of, you know, the citizens of Salem. That was smart, very smart move. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't care how
doing
perfect John is. He's still a smug, hypocritical, you know what.
Oh, and I have to mention, I don't know what the heck was going on with John Marlena in the penthouse. I mean, number one, I mean, you know me, I'm a decorator, so I have issues.
Yeah, what happened to the penthouse?
Yeah, they got the penthouse. Their last penthouse, but everything's freaking beige. I don't understand the deal with that, but it's the same crappy beige as it was before.
It's the same thing they did to the DeMira mansion.
Yeah, oh, I thought they were supposed to improve
beige.
The sets. Yeah, I thought they were supposed to improve them, and they have that, I'll go into that later about the broker who met with Bo and Hope about Alice's money. It was the same room that Justin uses as his office. It's the interrogation room. It's exactly, it's Lexi's office. It's exactly the same room. It's the same blue walls. It's the same desk. And it's like, I thought we were supposed to do their job with the sets. That really pissed me off. But, you know, like I said, I volunteer and some other girls volunteer. I think Save Jack and Jen and I have volunteered several times to go down there and paint the sets. I can't deal with the blue anymore, and I can't deal with the freaking beige. The beige is 1990s. You know, it's 2011. You know, let's modernize a little bit. I mean, beige is way, way out.
What they could do is, like, you know, put up, like, one, they don't have to paint the whole thing, paint one wall. That's so in right
something.
Now.
Something. Yeah, you can have an accent wall, you know, something a little bit bolder. That, you know, I mean, the beige thing is very mansion subdivision-ish, and, you know.
Not to mention the DeMira mansion needs new curtains. If they don't get rid of those those maroon curtains, pretty soon I'm going to go bananas.
Speaking of
so
curtains,
catchy.
I mentioned on Lauren's chat, I mentioned something about, we were talking about the new sets and stuff, and I said, I want to get to a point where I actually miss the plaid at the Brady Pub. And she laughed. She goes, she was like, oh, I wish they would get rid of that stuff or something. I don't remember her exact words, but it was like, yeah. You know, I would like to get to the point where I hadn't seen the Brady Pub long enough to be like, gee, I missed that green plaid. You know, like, anyway, no, but not that that would happen, but, you know, well, I'd like to try. But sounds like we're going
to
get a lot of new
stuff.
That's nice.
I didn't, you know, when Wayne Northrup was Roman Brady in the 80s, and he would wear a plaid shirt. I was fine with that. But
right.
Hulk and Roman all in different kinds of plaid in the same scene.
Oh, we have another caller. We have Angela. Let's see if we can get Angela on. Sorry about
Atlanta
that.
Atlanta represents.
Yeah. There she is.
Okay. I
what's
up,
Angela?
I didn't even press. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even press one, so I was just listening. I didn't realize I was on.
We like putting people on the spot.
That's okay. I was listening and smiling about the colors. About a year ago, I think I wrote a post on Dave's Talk that said that we ought to have some type of tag sale or something, or just, you know, Dave's viewers could send in stuff, you know, old monitors, you know, pictures that we're not using anymore in our house.
Yeah.
To kind of change up some of
it. Well,
especially in the I mean, I'm fine with them reusing some of these interrogation room things, but like you said, even if they could just change one wall, it would, you know, make a huge difference, because I end up spending time, rather than listening to what people are saying, looking at what's on the wall and thinking about the, you know, that it's the same room.
How you can change it, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the sets are actually distracting. They're that bad. I mean, I can't concentrate on what they're saying, because I want to paint everything. It really bugs me.
Somebody was talking about the Marlena apartment or Sammy's apartment or whatever. I don't even call it the penthouse. That apartment is so small. That room is so small. And when EJ and Rafe were over there with Sammy, and I mean, they literally had, one of them had to step out of the way for the other one to walk by. I mean, it was ridiculous. But they had, when they did those interviews, when they had that publicity day, and they interviewed John and Marlena, Deidre and Drake, excuse me, you know, and they just had them kind of in director's chairs with the apartment in the background. I looked at it, and later I compared it to something else. And, I mean, it is exactly as it was before. I mean, exactly. Same chairs, same everything.
Was it a little dusty? Was it kind of dusty?
Probably so.
Were they, like, sneezing and coughing?
I didn't think
they were going to go back to the penthouse, because I thought that was sold or something.
Well, the big penthouse with the spiral staircase is gone. You know, they did get rid of it.
Okay.
And they, I think they gave that, it seems like I read, and I have no idea where I read this, but and it's been forever, but that, like, that there was like a picture of like a mother and a baby or something that was on one of the walls there, the same wall where the door was that led to the hall. And I think they gave that picture to Bill Hayes and Susan Seaforth Hayes, you know, to have in the, you know. So I think somebody on the show actually, they gave that picture to them when they tore down and took that set. Because that was probably a pretty good size set that they, you know, that they needed the space for when they went to this thing that they've got now. But it would be nice just to change the colors, because, you know, hey, think about how long they talked about EJ redid the whole thing after they faked the flooding. And he said it looked so much better. You know, they actually had to unlock about that.
Well, he'll say anything to get, you know, Sammy to do something.
What did y'all think about EJ and, just how he was acting this week? I mean, did everybody, I'm sorry, I missed the first 20, 25 minutes or so, so I didn't get to hear it. But,
EJ. Oh, I enjoyed him together.
He's, I mean,
him and Kate.
It's so much better than when Dina was writing. I do like him a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm torn. I like this, but I just know that, you know, it's not gray. He's going to be the bad professional.
Yeah,
the bad guy.
We want him to be the bad guy.
I don't mind him being the bad guy. I just have a problem with that's all Damaris get to do.
Yeah.
It's predictable. And I'm just, I don't know, unless he
wins the election and he gets to do something different, okay?
I get the feeling he's going to win the election anyway, but...
Yeah, I like the idea of the election and, you know, him running for
election. Yeah, they're not using the election just to put him in power so that he can do all sorts of diabolical stuff. I'm sorry, that's the rule.
Did Lauren say that the election wasn't over yet? Did she say that?
She's just saying, I think she hopes that the political stuff continues since, we're in an election cycle now in real life.
Maybe not as
the election, but like the politics aspect or something. So.
Okay.
Well, you mean once he wins as mayor, just keep, yeah.
Yeah, because, the way I see it going,
unless John proves he's innocent and he's still on trial, after the election, from what I can tell, then EJ would have a pretty good chance of winning. Because there's going to be an awful lot of, based on what they've been found guilty of, everybody in Salem who's got a retirement and had just lost it. They're no matter what John looks like publicly, they're going to be mad.
They're not going to vote for Abe.
Even if Abe distances himself, he's still got a relationship with John for 30 years. So, who are they going to vote for?
We have another caller, guys. Let me put the next caller on.
Hey.
I know. It's like the Diva Day. Area code 304?
Yes. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I basically just wanted to call to talk a little bit about the reboot for Days. And I have to be honest, I wasn't really enjoying it because I felt like it was too rushed, and it was also, I just feel like it just still felt the same, the way the show looked and everything. I mean, even though, the lighting was the same and everything else, I just felt like it was kind of boring, it just wasn't something I would, keep on watching. I have saw little bits and pieces, and I know that's not something to judge about, but for me, I just felt, I got kind of like a passion tone with the show, for the most case. And I know a lot of people were very excited about the show and they were praising it, but I think kind of in a lot of ways Corday kind of, fooled everybody in some ways to make the show more important than the way it looks, or to say the way it seems.
Well, there was an interview that was on a blog that's called Deep Soap that's written by a former soap writer from AMC, and she interviewed Ming. What's Ming's first name? Greg? Mm-hmm. Greg Ming.
Greg.
And one of the things he was saying that set me off right away was that they hired these two writers because they're going to stick to writing family and all of the traditional things that Days is all about. And it's like, excuse me, that's why Ken Corday said he was hiring Dina Higley, and that's why he fired Hogan. So,
I was going to say, I see the way the ratings were the first week, and I think that the same thing, the viewers saw the same thing that I probably was looking at too, because it kind of went back down after the Monday reboot episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what happened, I don't mean to harp on the Madison character, but last week the previous week, the reboot week, was all these characters that were
you know, at this party, and we had the Demiras being catty and sarcastic, which I loved, and then you juxtaposed against the goody-goody Hortons and, you know, Brady.
And Jack,
or,
who walked around in plain sight without anybody seeing him.
Yeah, hid behind bushes.
Somebody saw him.
Behind bushes and a beard. But,
I can't believe
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you know, and then this week, all of a sudden, it was like, boom, you know, Madison, this new character's here, and she's taking over the show, you know. And I don't know how. I mean, I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to give the writers a chance. I mean, and the producers, I mean, because it's not just the writers. But I want to give them a chance. But I think it was a little shocking, really, to the system to go from last week to then this week shifting gears so much. I don't know. That was just me. Did you guys feel that way, or did you notice that? I don't know. That's how it just seemed to be.
I felt that way. I think it's. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I felt like there was, and I tweeted something to just the to the social media person that day, that there was something almost caricaturish about just I don't know what it was. I can't even put my finger. I told her I just had to think about it, because it was just, like I said, it was just almost like, not that they were overacting, and maybe it may be just like what you're saying, it's because the set is different, it looks a little bit different. But I felt like Victor was, you know, just a little bit over the top, and would he really be saying everything quite that way? And I thought the Brady dialogue back and forth with, you know, as soon as you knew she pretended to be the hostess, I mean, you kind of knew what was coming. You know, that she was, I guess that to me there was something about it that was just kind of not quite real. I couldn't put my finger on it. Maybe it's just because it's a little bit different. That's what I said to the people at Days, because they were asking, tell us the good and the bad. And the good that I said is that, you know, and this was towards the first of the week. I'm not actually sure I saw it at the end of the week this week. It's been very bad week for me, so I can't actually remember if I've seen all the episodes. But I think, you know, the flashes of John looking at those spreadsheets, I like that, because I have no idea what in the world that means. Because, you know, they've said over and over again, they're not going to do brain chips. You know, pray they're not doing any more doppelgangers.
If they make the reason that, you know, this happened is because he, you know, was, that Stefano wiped out his mind 4 years ago, then it is a brain chip. They're just using somebody else's version of a brain chip. It's still a brain chip.
Right. That's true.
You know, okay, not a brain chip, a computer. They put his memories on a computer. It's still stupid. And if they're using it, I'm sorry, that makes it, just because it's not something they wrote, you know, in the first place, why couldn't they have used John's history is so, you know, empty. They could have come up with, they can come up with an awful lot of other things to make it.
I mean, he's got about 14 different identities he could pick from.
Oh, yeah.
You know? All of a sudden, he's lost their name.
Not that I'm crazy about them going there again, anyway. I mean, I'd rather have them, I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say, I think it kind of make the, I think also one of the problems that I've seen with the show, and I see it lately with the new promo that they did with Jack and Jennifer and Daniel, which I don't particularly like that storyline too, is, you know, they are having too many, you know, too many unlikable characters for people to root for.
Are you saying unlikable or likable?
They just have too many, you know, too many people that, you know, the viewers would, you know, probably not root for, you know, and you know, I've seen it with, you know, a lot of the promos and things like that, where most of them seems to you know, kind of make people turn off to the show with the way the characters are written. So, you know, EJ is kind of unlikable. Even, you know, John, in a certain point, is not unlikable to the viewers. Jack is, Daniel is. It's not really a whole lot of, you know, good male, you know, rootable characters that the show could relate. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the viewers to really get a hold on, you know, it's
the
more
only,
so everybody. It's more so.
The only
likable
male
bad.
Character on the show for me at this point is Jack.
I think if you haven't been watching the show or is familiar with him, I think it might be harder. I don't know if you'd have as much empathy. I mean, like I said, I loved him, and I've been watching the show, you know, forever. But I kind of thought like what this caller is saying is that if you didn't have as much experience with Jack, like now, mm-hmm. you know, and this whole Afghanistan story is, you know, and just, you know, of course we're used to some outlandish tales from Jack, but you know, he might not come across necessarily, you know, that empathetic yet.
But he's right about there not being any. Yeah, I mean, there is no supposed hero on this story in on the show anymore that's heroic. They've all done the most hypocritical things imaginable, and we're supposed to ignore them.
The writing on the 23rd, you know, Friday the 23rd before the official kickoff or relaunch or whatever they're calling it. I'm out of words to call it. But that 23rd was a very good episode. I enjoyed all the flashbacks. But the best part of that episode, the fact that they had the EJ and Stefano part there, you know, when they were sitting there at the chess table and talking. And, you know, there was the good and the bad. You know, it wasn't a caricature of EJ that he's pretending to be a virtual good guy and that, you know, he's really just pretending. I mean, you know, there really was that. I believed him when he said, you know, that he does want to make some changes because of the children. He doesn't want the children to be afraid of the boogeyman and the Damaras, you know, that kind of thing. Right. I mean, that was very empathetic. That was another Killington written episode. I don't know who wrote everything this past week. I think that might be kind of interesting to know too, to kind of compare who's doing the dialogue.
Well, I don't really have a problem with how they're writing the Damaras, except that I get the impression that. But I mean, Dina did the same thing, you know, that they're going to be the ones who are blamed. But there should be heroes on the show that you root for, and when people want to root for the Damaras instead, there's something wrong with the show.
Right? Oh, I know. I've been rooting for the Damaras and all that.
I'll root for the Damaras all the time.
The show for a long time, and they're not doing what they need to do to fix it. It's like they don't even realize there's a problem.
But you do remember we used to root for Roman over Stefano. We used to root for
Roman.
That's true.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you did like the heroes back then. Now we like the, you know, it's you know, yeah, I know what you mean.
It's been so long since I've wanted to root for any. Well, okay, Hogan got me to root for some of the Bradys at certain points. Not for the whole thing, but at certain points. But you know, I'm not rooting for Bo and Hope when they're sitting there pulling out a police badge just to get some guy to give them information.
Yeah, did you see Bo do
he doesn't
that?
Have
yeah.
he doesn't you know he doesn't mm-hmm. have an obligation to do so. That's not
right.
That's you know, they shouldn't. What happened to being smart and being able to convince him or just stop the meeting and call your lawyer and you know there's so many other ways to deal with some of these things that wouldn't make these people look quite so insufferably overbearing. And
he was just threatening in another way, just like Stefano would threaten to get what he wants. It's the same thing. Exactly. It's just, he's no better.
We have another caller. Go ahead.
Ooh.
Yeah, go ahead. All right, let me get the other caller on real quick.
Oh, I was going to say, I think.
Whoa, what's that noise?
I don't know which one that is.
Peter on, the volume on.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe we mute the computer.
Is that area code 775? I have you on the line.
Is Sarah?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah.
It's me.
Hey.
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 How's it going?
What's going on?
Hi.
It's going all right.
So now you need, now that you shared some of your artwork on Twitter, you need to get Lauren to share some of hers. So far, I don't think she's really opened up about that. She talks about it, but I haven't seen her actually tweet anything that I can remember anyway. Maybe she did. She did a few pictures in her gallery or outside where she painted, but she didn't show the actual painting. So anyway, so
I was going to mention one more thing. I know a lot of people have been critical of the Chew and everything. I think people have to remember that, you know, non-soap brewers and soap brewers do have, you know, they do have kind of like a partnership with one another. If one show do bad, the other show will, you know, do good in ratings. And, you know, I hear so many people talk about how the Chew is, it has done, you know, bad in the rating, and people were wishing that they were they want the show to do bad. But I think people have to remember, if those ratings go down, more than likely it's going to hurt, you know, Day's ratings and One Life to Live ratings for the most part, and Bold and Beautiful ratings. And I think in a certain extent, you know, Young and Restless, it's just going to hurt most of the soap viewership as well, because, you know, One Life to Live need that, you know, strong lead-in more than anything. That's what also got them in trouble. And I think it's also going to, as time goes on, with the way they're doing the, you know, the shows and things, you know, canceling the soaps, eventually, you know, the viewership is going to be, you know, it's going to probably be more harder on the soaps to get viewers.
That's an interesting point. I think, you know, I think one of the things that I know I was looking at the end of this week, and when they issued some of the rating numbers, is just to see, regardless, you know, of because most in different, I know in different markets, you know, some of the shows are airing at different times. And so, as a matter of fact, I live in Atlanta, and so they don't run any of the soaps against one another now. Well, I think actually what Young and the Restless runs against General Hospital. I'll take that back, I think. But they've changed the time zone. But I know they haven't, like, for a couple of years now, Young and the Restless has never run against Days. And, you know, because at one time, you know, you had All My Children, Days, and Young and the Restless all running head-to-head. And I think, I know they've stopped that here, so that, and that, you know, helped, that helped a little bit with some of, I think, some of the local ratings. But, you know, I think you've got a good point. It's going to be interesting over the next couple of weeks, especially after the, you know, kind of the big bump with the relaunch, are the number of viewers that were watching All My Children, are those folks going to turn on and watch Days or Young and the Restless or Bold and the Beautiful? Because ultimately then, you know, some of the other, the total number of viewers should at least stay the same as it was when All My Children was on. You know, because so if it loses, if All My Children went off, and then the overall number of viewers that watched any of the remaining four shows, then you know that, you know, you've lost some people forever, and you're not, they're not necessarily going to pick up on but One Life to Live or All My Children, Days of Our Lives. But I think, yeah, honestly, All My Children had not been a good lead-in for One Life to Live for a long time, and One Life to Live is, you know, leading the pack, basically, especially, you know, with a lot of the different categories.
One Life to Live overtake Y&R. That would be so cool.
Mm-hmm. Y&R is losing viewers. You know, like I said, that is a
point, yeah,
too.
Yeah, and
that you
One Life to Live is gaining viewers.
You don't want,
yeah,
any of them
I
to
think...
fail, because it could hurt the rest of them. That's
part
a good
of me,
point.
Part of me, though, is happy that I don't know. I don't feel like ABC or Disney or whoever owns ABC cares about the soaps, and I think a lot of the decisions they've made have damaged them. So I'm almost kind of happy that, you know, AMC and One Life to Live are going to be with a company who, at least, you know, PR wise, is saying they care and is trying to do whatever it takes to save them. I'm not sure how much resources they have to do it, but at least they care. Brian Franz hasn't cared in. He's done nothing but ruin things.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, I've seen how, you know, the Sony stocks, man, it hasn't been pretty well. But I think for the most part, you know, it's going to be a interesting time to see where, you know, the viewership goes, because it seemed like, you know, one of the reasons that Days had that last ratings boot, I think was like, you know, last year. Oh, I think last year or 2 years ago. It was due to, you know, AMC, you know, having a lot of the writing become a bad problem. And a lot of those viewers went to Days. And now it doesn't look like a lot of those viewers are making the jump. They probably did that on the Monday, you know, ratings, but I don't think they're doing that right now at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know this won't make me a popular person, but I have to point out, I'm sorry, I just, you know, they brought back all five characters, and especially Jonah Marlena has got to be costing them a mint to have them back. And yet, they were only on Monday's episode for, what, 2 minutes? And that was the highest rated episode, and after that, the ratings went back down. So, I think next week's ratings are going to be very interesting, because if they're not, I don't know that they're going to bring back people. Crystal Chappelle had a ton of fans, and it did nothing for the ratings. Galen Gehring had a ton of fans. It did nothing for the ratings. I just don't see that having Jonah and Marlena back because they have a big fan base is going to help the ratings.
I think the most important, I think, thing for Days to do is really, you know, kind of find where they need to go from here on out. I would have preferred them, instead of having all the characters appearing in one episode, you know, had done, you know, almost 6 weeks of build up where each new character show up leading up to the sweeps so they could tell the story.
There's a lot more
time.
Mystery involved, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more, you know, mystery. It's also a lot more build-up leading up to the sweeps, because I don't think they really know what's going to happen between, you know, right now and the sweeps. I don't think they even know what's going to happen for February sweeps.
Well, they have to know what's going on in November sweeps, because they're filming at least past Christmas now.
They're past Christmas now.
I've enjoyed Magic, you know, the Victor and Maggie saga. But, you know, I start thinking, too, if they go happily ever after, that's not, you know, how much are you going to do with that? Are they going to just start sending them on the cruises that they sent Julie
and
Doug on?
Well, that was part of, this is part of, I think, why they're doing that thing that they're rumoring,
I pray that's not true.
So that they can create, because you know Victor knew about it. Daniel's his godson. There's no way he didn't know that it was Maggie's son. So they can create, which is stupid. There's a ton of things they can use to pry apart Victor and Maggie that doesn't need, you know, changing history. This is so stupid. But I know that's one thing they're probably thinking about
using. Well, you know, they don't ever release the Q ratings, or I haven't ever seen them in a gazillion years, but I don't wish any actor ill on Days, because like I said, I love the show and I care about them as a group. But Dr. Dan is not one of my favorite characters, to say the least, and I just feel like, you know, it's like they're just trying to find a spot for him. And I read this I don't know, Daytime Royalty, one of those where they were talking about casting. And, you know, honestly, I hope to goodness they really do this, because Days has rumored and floated that they were going to start really being, including more diversity. You know, I must have read 3 or 4 times that they were going to bring on like an 18 to 22-year-old African-American, you know, guy in the college scene.
Yeah.
Now they have a casting situation for someone who's in his late 20s or early 30s to be a doctor at the hospital, which I think would be great. You know, I still kind of want.
Except that they're already saying that he's for Lexi. In other words, And I have no problem with them bringing in, I think they ought to bring in more diversity, but to bring in the diversity so that she can, that, so that they can do something they've done six times already. Break up Lexington.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Oh, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. And, you know, I think Renee Jones deserves a better storyline. She is a good actress. But James Reynolds is a good actress.
Yes, she is.
I mean, they just don't mm-hmm. give them a story. And I hope it's not just going to be that she's having another affair because she's bored with AIDS, because that, you know, like you said, we've seen that 1,000 times, and that's just not, you know, and that doesn't even do Renee justice, I don't think.
I was going to say one more thing. Does Will have to be gay? Because I hear a lot of times, you know, they say, you know, when Will come back into town, you know, he should be gay. But I always think that maybe it should be, you know, a major, someone else, you know, a major character that kind of do that. But, you know, you also have the fan base that would probably get into an uproar over it. But, you know, for me, I
have
feel
to
like,
admit that's one of the few things I'm looking forward to having Deidre Hall back for. The only thing I'm looking forward to having Deidre Hall back for, because her and the character who played Will, when she's away from John, she's, you know, still not like the 80s, but she's better. And I kind of like Sunny so far, and I'm curious to see what they do with it. I'm not sure I'm all of that.
Other
than Will. You know, maybe it won't be Will.
Chad. But, oh, well.
Yeah, it could be
Chad.
It could be anybody.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because, you know, Will, I guess, and I kind of agree with the caller. And I'm sorry, gentlemen, what is your name? I'm so sorry I keep calling you the caller. I agree with what you're saying, too, because I feel like, you know, Will, and again, I'm a longtime viewer, is such a legacy character. I mean, we have literally seen him grow up. And, you know, it might be, again, I'm not saying that it's not, you know, not a good idea to have, you know, to have a gay storyline. Obviously, I think, you know, there are a lot of people who have wanted that for a long time. But I do think it's awfully risky to take a legacy character, not even just to say, oh, you know, so-and-so, the son of two major characters on the show, but quite literally we've watched, you know, Will grow up on the show. And, you know, it just worries me because, you know, they're never going to have, you know, half the cast of gay folks. And I don't know that, you know it's going to kind of, I just am concerned it's going to limit Will. I think Chandler Massey has done a fantastic job coming on there, taking over for Dylan, I can't remember his last name, who was not nearly as strong an actor.
Dylan Patton.
So I really like Chandler Massey, and I again, it's not that I'm against him doing a storyline. I just think that I kind of hope that I'm agreeing with Joe. I kind of hope it's not Will.
I'm not that worried though, because we're talking about a soap that brings people back from the dead, changes their reproductive abilities at the blink of an eye. If they decide they want Will with a girl, they'll simply change his sexual orientation.
I think, not even saying anything. I was going to say, I think I would prefer they kind of go a little bit, you know, kind of a more so of an extreme with you know, another character like some. I know extreme is a little bit of an easy word to say on days, but I would rather them try to go do something a little bit extreme with a legacy character, like someone like Jennifer, you know, going out with Lexi or something like that, to, you know, really, you know, cause kind of like a uproar, because, you know, she get tired being with guys and she realized she have, you know, kind of this more the friendship relationship with Lexi, and maybe something, you know, out of the left field happens. You know, something like that could happen. I mean, it's something that.
Who was that you wanted to do that?
I was saying Jennifer and Lexi. I know that would be kind of controversy.
Oh, yeah, that would definitely be controversial.
But I think it would be something that would, you know, be something that a lot of viewers wouldn't expect anyway.
Well, that's, yeah, and that's true, unexpected. I can't even think at this point of characters other, but, you know, Lexi is, and again, you've really thrown out something new. I had never even thought of that. But, you know, Lexi is a good character from the perspective that they're not giving her much of a story. She's on the canvas fairly regularly, but she really never has much of her own story. She's always supporting someone else. But I can't, in the top of my head, think of another character that they could really do that with. I'm not sure. There's so many people that, you know, love Jack and Jennifer and have been waiting for the big reunion with them. But I'm not sure I'm not as sure about it. Although it's really interesting and it's creative and it's a new idea because I haven't even thought of that. But I do think, you know, it's almost like if they were going to do something like that. You would have thought they would have done it with Crystal Chappelle when she had, you know, because she had the Olivia fans or Natalia fans from Guiding Light. I do think something unexpected, but I do, like I said, I'm kind of reading that it's not Will, and I'm not so sure about Lexi and Jen, but although it is, like you said, that is something different. Nobody would see it coming, and that part of no one seeing it coming would be interesting.
I think they should bring Lucas back for EJ.
They need to bring Lucas back. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Women aren't working out for EJ, so he might as well, you know.
No.
Bring Lucas back for EJ.
That would be unexpected.
Dammies would really be upset.
Yeah, I absolutely would be. I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm a huge James Scott fan, so I guess I kind of want to still see him with
I think
that.
They'd be more amused by that than they would be if they stuck Rafe with EJ.
To be quite honest, in the 90s, I probably was not the biggest Lucas fan in the world. I mean, I disliked him. I don't know that I really liked him. I was just kind of neutral. And then for a while there, you know, they just ran the EJ Sammy Lucas thing into the ground. And I think they needed a break. But, you know, I think since they have brought Austin back, and we haven't really talked about, I don't know if y'all talked about this earlier or not, I'm just not really feeling Austin with, and I love Patrick Muldoon when he was on originally, but I'm just not feeling Austin here, and I really don't feel him as a forensic accountant.
I mean, nothing against the actor, because I didn't know him about Austin, because I didn't watch during that period of time. I watched in the 80s, and I didn't watch when he was, you know, during the 90s.
Worked when they were younger. I don't know.
I suspect Joe's point about if they'd brought them back slowly and made it more of a mystery and build up, I think that might have worked a lot better. I think the way they did it had something to do with why this isn't working.
Too much of a setup now with the, you know, Carrie versus Austin because of John, and I just don't, for some reason, and again, I'm certainly have no backstage insight at those lives, but I just have the feeling that Patrick Muldoon, who has done so many television movies and nighttime shows, and I'm not sure that he's really feeling days at all either. And I guess I still halfway expect that by December he may return to Switzerland or something. I don't know. Austin and Carrie are not, you know, when Greg Mean kept saying that, you know, through the tour, and I mean, I went to a book signing. I've been to a couple charity events. Have talked to some people, you know, from different events that people went to. I can't see anybody that I certainly, that anything I attended or anyone I've talked to personally, where people were just clamoring up and down in the line saying, please bring back Austin and Carrie.
Right.
I know people were saying John and Marlena, or give EJ and Sammy a try, or give us
curious,
some suitable characters.
The book signing you went to, Deidre Hall was there, right?
No, I went to the one here in Atlanta, so she was not here.
Yeah.
Crystal Chappelle was here. Sherry Anderson was here. Galen Gehring, Nadia, James Reynolds, the Hayes, both Phil and Susan Hayes. Greg Ming was here. Chandler Massey, of course, Chandler Massey's from here, so there was quite a few people here to see him, because that was his. They even had the signing in his little hometown, a little suburb area of Atlanta. But Deidre was not there. But I'm sure, I have no doubt that that people did mention John and Marlena, because they are part of an iconic couple. But I just, and like I said, it's not that Austin and Carrie were not a good couple, but I never. Yeah, if you had just sat me down 2 months ago and said, write down 5 iconic couples from Days of Our Lives history, they would not be somebody I would have written down.
Mm-hmm. Right.
From a writing perspective, I guess I can see they thought it would be like a convenient way to, like, okay, these are two people we haven't seen in a while. They certainly could have been hitting the books and becoming a forensic accountant and a lawyer, online lawyer or whatever, something like that, I mean, and I actually am surprised that I like Carrie. I mean, I knew her a little bit when she was young.
Yeah.
But I just don't see. Maybe, and I'm trying to chalk it up to maybe Patrick's just getting back into things and all, and maybe it's kind of hard to get that, so I'm not saying it's his fault as an actor or anything, but I'm just not seeing the chemistry with anyone. Even the scenes with Kate and Austin, it was almost more like they were just like friends or something that hadn't seen each other in a while. Kate usually gushes over her children, especially since Philip's not around and stuff. I would have thought that Austin would have gone looking for Kate, even though he has this adversarial relationship with her. That would have been one of the first things he did when he got there, and yet they almost wrote him like they didn't even hardly know each other. And I mean, Lauren mentioned, we were talking about that, and she said it was, they had to adjust to each other because. He knew a different Kate and she knew a different Austin. And so it was new for both of them. But I'm seeing that in almost all of the scenes. So that's why I'm kind of like, I don't know if that part's going to work or not. I mean, it's nice that they're trying, but I just don't know if it's going to go over well.
I like Carrie. I wish that they would bring Anna back. If you don't know the history, and of course, any soap, not just Days of Our Lives, any soap, the history is complicated. And, I feel like, Anna's an important part of the Carrie story. I hope so, because I love Leanne Hunley. But she's not, in some instances, I feel like they're trying to use Carrie, not all the time, because again, I do like the character, and I'm glad she's back. But it's almost like they're trying to use her as a pseudo Belle. Do y'all think that?
Yeah.
She's part of John and Marlena's family, even if she's a stepchild. My problem is, she's been on the show how many times now, and her and her mother have not been on screen since before the actress who plays Carrie now was even on the show.
Yeah.
1986, yeah.
No.
Last time.
Right.
Is it that long? I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Like
the last time.
Yeah,
last time
I feel like they brought the characters back because they could use them in a John and Marlena story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The connection to John and Marlene is why they brought him back.
I did not believe for a second that people are writing and emailing Dave saying, please bring Carrie and Austin back, as much as they are.
Right.
Saying, please put so-and-so together, which Kevin really won't ever do in a million years.
I was going to say one thing before I go. Do you think they could be trying to do a Kate and have Madison become like her daughter or something? Because eventually they normally like to have.
Oh gosh!
I know.
No,
but,
no, I don't think
they can. Kate has enough children.
It wouldn't surprise me.
But I know what you're saying because they did that. Whenever they bring people in, they always have this adversarial relationship with the person they're ultimately going to be with in some way or another.
Yeah,
I have
remember
thought of
Billy?
That angle. I have to admit. I have
thing
thought
with
of
Billy.
That angle.
I'm not sure if they're going to do that.
All right. That's great.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Call again.
Bye, Joe. Bye. Oh, it's so nice having guys calling. Such a cool change of pace.
Love that.
Mm-hmm. That we know a complaint.
And
we thought
up some, you thought up some good ideas. I mean, things I'd never thought about.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Definitely. I hadn't thought about that angle with Kate and Madison. Wow. No, I hope they don't go there with that one, though.
You know, I thought, you know, one thing I had seen a while back, you know, I think we talked about, you know, Tom Casciello, who used to write for Days, you know, under Gus Shepherd, and, you know, just always enjoy reading him on Twitter, and anything he's got to say is always pretty kind of insightful and interesting to me. And one of the things he had said in, I think, the interview on We Love Soap TV is that, you know, that they were, he had written several things where he had mentioned the Gemini twins, Rex and Cassie, and they had always taken it out. And I watched the interviews that Days did, which I thought were really quite good as far as just interviewing some of the key characters and actors talking about their characters. And I was impressed that Lauren Coughlin was talking about Kate, and she mentioned that she had six children, and she mentioned Rex and Cassie, which is the first time I've heard anybody reference them in a long time.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the show, but she did acknowledge that they had existed and for a long time. You know, it's like they were just kind of in the ether. You just, nobody mentioned them again.
Yeah.
I think it's, I mean, Lauren, I am excited that Lauren has got, has benefited a lot from this kick, from this relaunch. And I'm glad to see at least she's on a lot more. You know, we had a couple of weeks there where it was pretty. She wasn't on at all there for a while. Yeah, and so I think that is going to be interesting. But I do think, you know, Madison is going to be related to somebody, you know, and
well,
there's going to be some
with
her being,
what's this with her being childhood friends of Sammy's? That was
so
fake. Oh, my
Colorado.
God.
Was that so made up? Oh, God.
That was
how
so
convenient.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What other reason would you be hiring someone like Sammy Brady, who has no experience other than how to hack into computers?
Sammy Brady pushed me off.
Well, at least they tried to get the backstory.
One thing that I do like when I'm watching is I don't feel like we're getting hit over the head with one character all the time.
So far, let's see how it goes.
Yeah, they've been changing.
Even though Donna and Marlene are on, I'm not having to see them shove down my throat all the time.
Right.
It's nice.
Right.
On the back side, there's way, way too much Roman on. He's not even on that bed.
Don't say that.
Okay, I'll put it differently. There's too much Chris Kosicek. Parading around as Roman Brady.
I wish he was Chris Kosticek again. I think he would be so
much
more above and enjoyed if he was Chris Kosticek.
He's just not Roman, that's all.
Yeah, he's not.
No.
And I just hate it because, I mean, I feel like they ruined Roman Brady more than any other character, and it just kills me. So I used to like him a lot. Now I don't want to see him at all.
Well, guys, we have a minute to go.
Oh, wow.
I know. Time flies. Yeah, we've had so many callers tonight. And thanks, everybody, for calling in. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to have to have a separate list now.
Yeah,
because
usually
we all my,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, all my Atlanta callers, I can tell them apart. I just write down people's area codes so I know who they are when they call back in. But now I'm going to have to throw some more digits on there. But yeah. That's cool. I could see why Gates goes to Atlanta, though. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a good, you know. I mean, they don't come to Pittsburgh.
They won't come to Pennsylvania or anywhere.
They don't come to Pennsylvania.
They don't come to Northeast at all. Maybe New York. New York would be the closest. Yeah. They won't come
to
Philly or Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Come on.
No,
I've been
pushing
for it. I know. I tell Sherry Anderson that. I've told, you know, I've
trust
tweeted
me
on Days 45 online.
I know how you feel.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Oh.
It's always the same
thing. Anyway.
Oh, well.
Okay. Well, like I told everybody in the beginning, make sure you check out, you know, all of our areas, the blog, the Facebook, Twitter, and on Wednesday, which we should have another interview up. And you'll find out who it is. So,
exciting.
And then we'll see, you know, if we don't have another primetime interview scheduled, then we'll see everybody here next week.
All right.
Definitely we'll get more.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks,
bye
everybody, for calling in tonight.
Everybody. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
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 Bye.